Thank you for coming tonight. That song we just sang, sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. It's amazing, these songs and these hymns and these spiritual songs that we sing. They are refreshing to our souls. They are sweet-smelling savor going up to the throne of God. They are a pleasure and a joy, and we can rejoice in song, and at the same time, we also can find ourselves being so involved in that singing that our hearts that were stone can become soft. Our demeanor that was in a tragic state when we came in the door can be softened and beautified by those very words. Wonderful words of life. This is the seventh lesson in the series of spiritual wellness. And you know, we're in search for ways to improve ourselves spiritually. By caring for one another. It was one of our lessons. Caring and sharing for one another. That will help us and build us up and establish us together in the same faith, having the same mind. Caring and loving for one another, keeping the royal law, as James put it. And we're laying down a foundation through these series of knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, that is putting underneath our hope that solid rock, that solid foundation, the words of God. And I hope that we're examining ourselves, our own spiritual wellness in all these regards, to serving one another in a true sense, to the serving the true and living God through hearing the messages, through reading and learning from the Word itself, and of course by prayer, and as we continue tonight with our singing. And it's such a joy. Singing spiritual songs. You know, that's something that Jesus did. There we see an example of that in the book of Matthew, but in Psalms chapter 22, and at verse 22, you know, if we look at that psalm, in fact, let's read Psalm 22 and verse 22 together. We'll look at a few psalms today and, of course, some other scripture, but Psalm 22, verse 22, the psalmist writes, I will declare your name, my brethren, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You see that? Psalm 95 is also a psalm that we'll be looking at tonight. Psalm 95. And I like to read that, 95 verse 1. He says, oh, come let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And when we sing, that is the template or the heart-shaped kind of song that we want. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, you know, for both He, God, who sanctifies, and those who were being sanctified are all one. And for this reason, He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Isn't that awesome? When we sing together these songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and when we care for one another, love one another, when we help exhort, we're singing together. And God's not ashamed to call us brethren. Christ saying, I will declare your name, my brethren, in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. It's a wonderful thing. I mentioned the Lord's Supper, Matthew chapter 26, and at verse 30, if you'll remember, the supper had ended, and it tells us that they had sung a hymn. Can you just see that? The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the mighty Creator, the Savior, the Master, the Door, the Good Shepherd, the Light of the world. And He's sitting there with the disciples and they're singing a hymn. How much better does it get than that? And you know, we're all here together. We're singing songs just like Jesus taught, just like He did. And I think that I can discern through the Holy Scriptures that our singing is very, very important. It's an indicator of our spiritual wellness. Congregational singing is an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ, our love for the God, our knowledge of our Redeemer and the one who lives forever and ever and ever, and the one who prays for us, our intercessor. That should give us great joy. We understand that God is our pillar. You know, we stand upon the Word of God. You know, I sing because I'm happy, right? I sing because I'm free. I sing with great joy. And I looked in our hymnal. I don't think that song's in our hymnal. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow and I know He watches me. Good song. And so singing, you know, it means encouragement. It means worship. It means prayer or praise. It's just a form of our spiritual worship. It's our service to God in song. And it is very, very important. I'll work till Jesus comes. I'll work till Jesus comes. Right? And I'll work till Jesus comes. And be gathered together with all the saints. And so the question here this evening is, how well do you sing? And I don't mistake that question. I'm not asking you if you have a good voice. That doesn't matter. I'm not asking you if you have a powerful voice or if you're a tenor or an alto or bass. That doesn't matter. And as we look at these lessons here and the different slides, I'm hoping that you'll understand me. God doesn't care if you have a good voice. I don't actually care if you have a good voice. But there are different kinds of singers, and that's what we want to look at first. There are people who don't sing. They never sing. I have experienced that and sat next to people in a congregation where the songs were being sung and the person sat looking at the book. They didn't voice any kind of sounds at all. And can you believe it? There are literally a few Christians who never sing, even though they attend church faithfully, regularly. And listen, I don't have a problem saying that that's a direct violation of the Scripture. We know Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, speaking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We know that. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We're supposed to teach and admonish one another through that singing and the songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And so we know that it's commanded. And so Christians are literally commanded to sing. And so literally singing, not singing is not an option. And so, you know, sometimes people sing though, but they do it by compulsion. They do it begrudgingly. They sing, but it's out of a sense of duty. It's like an obligation. It's something that, oh well, I'm commanded. I got to sing, and so I'll sing. And that's not where we want to be spiritually. You know, it isn't pleasing to God. And I realize, you know, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, I think we all know that. That has to do with our giving, that God loves a cheerful giver. But actually, I think God also loves a cheerful voice. I think that when we think of that, I believe that the same thing can be applied to the sense that we're making an offering to God with our voices, and He doesn't want that half-hearted. He doesn't want us to do that just because we have to. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 5, sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. Think of that. He's done excellent things. And who's He done all those things for? Us. There is good reason to sing to the Lord. And if you do this grudgingly, there's no blessing in that. It doesn't make you feel good. It's not going to make other people feel good. And I believe that God really wants a cheerful singer. Then there's those who sing half-heartedly. It's kind of in between. You know, with their mouth they sing, but their hearts, they're not in the song. That's that type of worship that Jesus described in the book of Matthew that we're all familiar with. Matthew chapter 15. You know, well said is Isaiah saying that these people draw near to me with their mouths and with their lips. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me. Wow. When we sing, we don't want our singing to be vain. We don't want to mouth the words and toot the tunes, but our heart's not really in it. Well, I don't like to sing. Well, that's begrudgingly. And then, of course, there's those people who sing just to impress others. And I've heard that. One person among 50, and all you hear is that one person. You know, and the truth is, people are blessed with great voices. Sometimes they're very talented, and they have that training, literally. And so that's not who I'm talking about. You know, it's like prayers and people are singing the song so emotional. They're putting all their heart into the song. But if sometimes people are doing it to be seen, and it's like the prayers of the Pharisees that are just going on and on and on, and they do it to be praised by men, and they're not doing it to be pleasing to God. Matthew chapter 6 and 5. You remember that? Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. When we sing, we don't want to be hypocritical in our singing. We want to sing not to impress each other, not to impress ourselves, not to impress anyone except God. And we're not even doing it just to impress Him. We're doing it because we love Him, because we are honoring Him and praising Him for all that He's done with us. And we do that with our voices. We have talented song leaders, very good song leaders. And it touches our hearts, some of these songs that we sing. But we have to remember, these individuals are not up here for their own glory. And I know that's a fact. They're not up here because they know that we're all going to be loving and listening. They're up here to please God. Not man. Psalm 149 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, he says. Sing to the Lord a new song. You remember that? And his praise in the assembly of all the saints. We're going to praise God in the assembly. And we do it because he's Lord. And then there's those who sing with melody and grace in their hearts. That's our song leaders. That's our members. That's who I believe we have here, a people that really do want to sing praises to God. Praise to the Lord. That's what we want to do. I want you to turn to Psalm 95. We read that first verse. Let's read Psalm 95, 1 through 3 together. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 95, 1 through 3. The psalmist says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with songs. For the Lord is the great God and the great King of above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also His. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands form it." Verse 6, "Let us come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hands. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial and in the wilderness." We need to sing out loud. We need to sing because of how great our God is. He is the God that we sing thanksgiving to. He is the great God, the great King. He has created and formed all things. Right next door to that, Psalm 96. He says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens." That's who we sing to. That's who we praise. I mean, you think, Paul instructed us in Ephesians 5:19. We looked at that. We'll probably refer to that more than once. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts. Colossians 3:16 again, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing." Teaching and admonishing. You know, that's what we're doing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And those are the kind of singers that we want to aspire to. That's the reason we want to sing. We want to do it to praise the Lord. We also, you know, we think, we don't, Dave, you don't want to hear me sing. And the fact is, we don't all have to be a Mario Lanza. We don't have to be a Maria Callas. We don't have to be a Luciano Pavarotti. We don't have to be a Placido Domingo. We don't have to be those. We don't have to be Marian Anderson, who sang the world in front of the whole world, "My Country 'Tis of Thee" at the Lincoln Memorial, 1939. We don't have to be those people. You know, I look around the room at you guys and I think, you know who I'm talking about. If there was room filled with young people, they wouldn't recognize any of those names. But we don't have to have great voices. You know, I want to pose the question at this point. Why aspire to become the singers God wants us to be? Why would we do that? Well, let me give you just a couple of reasons to edify others. That's one reason we want to do that. We want to be able to edify others. And it is important that we strive for that to offer acceptable sacrifice. Singing and praises serve spiritual hymns as it's an offering to God. It's a sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. "By Him let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips." See, we grow and we practice and we sing together and we learn to harmonize and sing all our different parts, and it sounds beautiful to us. Just imagine what that sounds like to God. Imagine God, who has the entirety of the world hating Him and persecuting His saints and cursing Him and claiming He isn't real and saying there is no God, and the whole world out there seems to be doing that, and then there's these saints, little tiny congregation in Bedford, and they're singing praises to Him. And imagine how that sounds to God amongst all those other things that He does here. He hears everything. He knows everything. He understands everything. He understands He's with all things. He is, that is God. And can you imagine all those voices and God hears us singing to Him? The fruit of our lips. And that's a good reason to aspire to sing more and more. It isn't just for us. It's for God. It's for God. You know, I wouldn't want to read the whole thing, but if you look in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, you see a lot of reasons there why Malachi is talking about people that are offering sacrifices, mediocre sacrifices, things that are not pleasing to God. When you look at that, you see that people are honoring their fathers. A servant honors his master, and God says, then if I am the father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my reverence? People aren't, you know, they're treating individuals more important, with more respect and with more honor, with more reverence than God. Verse 7, he says, you offer defiled food to my altar. Half-hearted singing. Begrudgingly singing. Singing or not singing at all. What is God going to be thinking? And then you know, he says, you offer what's lame in verse 8 there, the end of verse 8. And God says, is it not evil? Look at those things. Look with me at verse 14. But cursed is the deceiver who has his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You know, we think of that. Jesus is our high priest, our great high priest. Hebrews 4 and 14. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are a royal priesthood. Aspire to those things. We don't want to offer God half-hearted sacrifices. We don't want to offer God half-hearted singing. We don't want to offer God half-hearted anything. He deserves our best. And the more we give our best, the greater our relationship is with Him and with one another. And listen to me. God hears your voice. But He hears your voice filtered through your heart. Is your heart a heart for God? Do you live, eat, drink, live, breathe for God? Do you believe that God is the almighty, most important thing in all of the world and all of life? Do you put all things behind God? Is God on the throne where He belongs in your heart? And if you think of Him and all the things that Jesus, His Son, did for us and the Holy Spirit that's taught us, and you think about all those things and you realize God did all that for us, and then when you sing, you may not be a Mario Lanza, Placido Domingo, but God hears that. It's a sweet, sweet thing to God because it's coming. It seems like it's coming out of here, but with God it comes out of here. And God hears that singing and He knows it's coming from your heart. And that's all He cares about. He doesn't care if you have a good voice or not. It's filtered through your heart. What is your heart in relationship to God? And if your heart's right, your singing is good. Your singing is marvelous. Your singing is wonderful because your voice produces, but your heart filters, and that comes up to God as praise. It brings honor and glory to God. So how is your singing? How well do you sing? We think of our spiritual sacrifices, and then we think, well, we need to encourage one another also. Because our singing affects others. And I don't think, I could be wrong, I'm not that, you know, many years in the church, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody leave the church because Dave's voice wasn't that hot. I don't think that's ever happened. But we do want to sing. And our singing affects others. Not the vocal tone, not whether we're on pitch or off pitch, but the fact that we're all in one body, unified, singing together. You can imagine a congregation of 40 and 50 people, and only 10 of them sing. Wouldn't that be disheartening for all the others? It would be really disheartening for the 10. So we sing from our hearts and we realize that that singing affects other members in a very positive way. And you know, I've said many times that I do have dyslexia. I have trouble with words. And I, when I sing songs, sometimes the words get messed up and I have to stop singing literally. And sometimes I just hum a little bit and then I just listen to all of you. And you guys put me right back on track. And I can just find that word and I just start singing right along with you and it feels so good. And if you weren't doing that, I would be lost. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And so again, we have to consider that fact that our singing does affect other people in a very positive way. And I believe that's true here. And so as a result, you know, we speak not only to God in song, but we speak to one another. And that's a great thing. We teach and admonish one another. And we are richly blessed. You know, we sing in a way, making melody in our hearts. We sing in a way where the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. What a wonderful thing we do. Singing is a major source of our spiritual wellness. It's a major thing to look at as we think about our spiritual well-being. And listen, so singing is a three-dimensional activity. It's an upward activity. We're singing praises up toward heaven to God on His throne. We're praising God with song and we're trying to reach Him with our love and with our heart that filters that song. It's an outward encouragement to other people, you know, on a parallel plane here, a horizontal plane to all the members of the congregation. Everyone who hears us, actually, it's edifying one another. It's an inward kind of edifying. We're edifying self. We're hearing the songs, listening to the words as we sing, which I'll mention here in a second. We really need to do that. And we are richly blessing God. We're praising God. We're blessing one another, and we're certainly edifying ourselves as we sing those songs. We are all richly blessed by singing. So we benefit. We all benefit. Now, we need to involve our mind in our singing. We should sing with understanding, right? 1 Corinthians 14:15. When I sing, you know, I pray with understanding, I sing with the Spirit, and I also sing with understanding, Paul said. And it's the words that are important. Yes, the melody is important. The melody makes us feel good. But those words really should make us feel better. When we sing those songs, you know, like the songs that we sang tonight, sing them over and over again. Wonderful words of life. Let me more the beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. The words we need to know. And, you know, I know that's really important. Because if we're not involving our heart, if we're not singing and understanding the words with our minds and singing with knowledge and understanding, and then, you know, we're... There's a song back in the 60s that I, just up until, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, I used to love that. Whenever it came on the radio, I loved that song. Bye Bye Miss American Pie. I don't know if you ever heard it. I hope you didn't. But in that song, there are things that blaspheme God. And I used to sing that. Such a fun song. And in that song, they talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These are the three that I love most. And then it talks about them running and leaving town, heading for the West Coast because the songs have died. Blasphemy. We need to listen to the words. And we need to involve our heart when we sing, you know. So we must do that with grace in our hearts. We must make melody in our hearts. And this assumes that we're involving our heart, our Bible mind, and we're not hypocritical. We're not being condemned like those that we mentioned in Matthew 15. They come to me with their mouths and with their lips. They honor me, but their hearts are far from me. Hypocrites. We need to put our heart into it. And our mind, our Bible mind. Drawing us together to Jesus. Drawing us together to God the Father. Drawing us together through the Holy Spirit. All under that unity of the Spirit. That one mind that Paul wanted us to have. Involve your voice. Obviously, our voices. Right? My soul shall be satisfied as marrow in the fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Psalm 63 and 5. I'm going to praise you, God, with joyful lips. My lips greatly rejoice, the psalmist says, when I sing to you. My soul, which you have redeemed. Psalm 71 and 23. Just think of those words. Think of how great God is. You sing out as you're able to sing out. There's things that can hinder us, a rough voice or laryngitis or some cold or allergy or something. So you can sing anyway. Enunciate the words in your own mind and with your mouth. Let those words be rich as they come from you through your heart to God. And it's like I said, sometimes I have trouble following the words. But we do that. We want to love one another, love our neighbors as ourselves, but most of all, love God. Does God and all of us, do we deserve the blessings that God gives us? But He certainly deserves us singing praises and honor to Him. And I know that we all, and I've said this before, this is nothing new, we all have our spots. We all sit in certain places. You know, but with smaller memberships like this in such a big room, if we all came together, you know, you want to make your preacher happy? Let's all sit together. We're one big happy family, aren't we? Why can't we sit together? Do you imagine how much better our voices, that singing, the songs would be for each other? And when members, visitors come in the door, you know, they come in the door right now and they see a bunch of people over here and people are spread all over the place and they go, wow, this place is dead. And then they see coming another time and everybody's sitting together really close. And the size of the room doesn't matter. Look at all those people sitting together. They must love one another. They must share one another's lives. They like to be close to one another. They have that unity that I keep hearing about, that love for one another I keep hearing about, the closeness that I keep hearing about that people tell me the churches have. You know, consider this image and this image. Which one's better? You decide. You want your preacher to be happier than he already is? Sitting alone, spread out? Just think of what that adds to our singing, our worship, our Bible studies. Anyway, don't want to beat a dead horse. We should just make every effort to utilize every opportunity we have to sing, to learn. You know, Robert taught some things a while back. Learn to read music. Incorporate the special song services that I love, and I know most of you do. Special opportunities to sing, to come together. We can do that. Boy, don't we just love Wednesday night song service? When Randy puts all that together, the prayers, the scripture reading, the songs, and don't we love that? Well, let's do it some more. It doesn't have to be here on a Wednesday night, the first Wednesday. It can be at your house, my house. We can do that. We'll set it up. It's a powerful indicator of our spiritual wellness. It's a checkup. How well do we give? Or how well do we sing? James, you know, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms, James says, 5:13. So we want to expand our spirit. We don't want to limit just everything we do to the assembly. We want to be able to be spontaneous in a way. Hey, let's go to Dave's house Thursday for some singing and some food. Let's do that. Let's go over to Wanda's house. Let's go to Pat's house. Let's go to Randy. Whatever. It doesn't have to be something on the calendar that you know, it's only on the first Wednesday of every month. Only on Sunday. Let those special opportunities open some doors. Spiritual exercise. Private devotions. Expand all of that. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. I met a woman at the Hartville flea market yesterday. She was playing violin, and I just loved that because I used to play. And I walked up to her and I told her, I just love that instrument. I wish I could still play it. She said, you need to buy a dulcimer. You can play the dulcimer on your lap and you can strum it with your bad hand and learn to play with the other. And she said, God loves to hear us. Now I realized she was talking about instrumental music and praise, and I certainly didn't agree with that. But she understood at least the fact that God loves our singing. And she mentioned David. She said David was a man after God's own heart. Didn't David play a stringed instrument and sing to the... Well, sure he did. I will sing to the Lord, Psalm 13:6. I will praise the Lord, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing of your name among the nations, Psalm 57:9. I will sing to the Lord. As long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 104:33. You see? That's one of the things we can do that David did. Not by command, but because he was a man after God's own heart. And David called upon others to sing publicly. Psalm 149:1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise to the assembly of the saints. singing. And the saints will be joyful. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Psalm 149 and 5. I hope that at least sparked an interest and maybe some thought. But just think about when we sing, how wonderful those songs are. The words of the songs, the meanings behind the words, the emphasis that's placed by the tone and the musical notes, and how wonderful that is. We have a song of invitation, song number 585. Is thine heart right with God? That was something we talked about in the very opening of this lesson. He says, is thine affection, has it been nailed to the cross? Is thine heart right with God? We live in a world that's deceiving, sinful, arrogant, prideful. We live in a world where we have grown up with some people that absolutely don't believe in God, don't believe that they need God. And this songwriter says, have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thine heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thine heart right with God? Is that something that affects you, touches you? You can be washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy tonight, this very day. All you have to do is take what you know and let that be the driving force behind what you need to do. You know that Jesus is the Savior. You know that He died on the cross. You know that His blood is the only thing that can save you from your sins. And you know you sin. Is thine affections been nailed to the cross? And that has to do with our need for repentance. That has to do with our need for salvation. So whatever that need is, please don't wait a second. Come on forward now as we stand and as we sing.